Belgian Confession, Article 2, I know God because he reveals himself to me. Our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, for 10 weeks we looked at 10 main attributes of God: communicable, that he can give to us, and incommunicable, that he reserves for himself. It was important to spend time on these attributes of God because they show how bad you are and how much you needed a Savior. And in fact, they also teach us how you can live now to please God just by looking at who God is. But how did we know these things? Was it in a dream? Did we look at the reading from the stars like people do today when they want to know their future? Did an angel tell them to us? Did we go praying in the mountains and God spoke to us? Did we find them buried in tablets? This is the question you will hear about today. You'll be able to answer some who promote those ideas. How do we come to know God and know about God? How do we know who he is and what he has done? And our headings are 3: revelation of God natural, 2, revelation of God special, and then, of course, revelation of God responsibility. And our goals are that you know that God reveals who he is through natural and special revelation, and that you learn what God says about himself, and that you will then be moved to obey and worship him as you should. Natural revelation of God. Let's read first Belgic Confession, Article 2, and we will do so together. Let's begin. We know him by 2 means. First, by the creation, preservation, and government of the universe, which is before our eyes as a most elegant book, wherein all creatures, great and small, are as so many characters leading us to see clearly the invisible things of God, even his everlasting power and divinity, as the Apostle Paul says, all which things are sufficient to convince men and leave them without excuse. Second, he makes himself more clearly and fully known to us by his holy and divine word, that is to say, as far as is necessary for us to know in this, to his glory and our salvation. So the 2 things are highlighted there. There are 2 ways to learn about God, particularly Jehovah God, in nature and by special revelation. First, let's talk about natural revelation. You know God by what you see and experience naturally. You know God by what you see and experience around you. You see God in creation. And consider what the psalmist said. We just sang some of this 3,000 years ago about what he saw about God in creation. Psalm 19, verse 1, together. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. The heavens declare. It is as if nature had a voice and said, look at God. Of course, if you read on there, you will find many more details about God. Look again at Psalm 75, verse 1. Together, we give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks, for your wondrous works declare that your name is near. Now, of course, when you see that name mentioned there, it doesn't mean that just some writing on a wall somewhere. The name represented the person. So you can say, we give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks to you for your wondrous works declare that you are near. Psalm 97, verse 6, together. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. So in nature, you see God's righteousness and his glory, even in a fallen state. Nature shows order, not confusion. The earth does not get confused and say, I don't like the way I'm turning. I'm going to turn the other way. I'll turn around the other side. It always follows the order, in spite of it being in a fallen state. You take the time and look at a sunset, a beautiful sunset. You'll probably not see one today with the snow coming, but when you look in the horizon and see the colors as they radiate from the sun, you can't help but see the wonder and power and glory of God. You're left speechless. But it's not just simply that the fact of God showing his beauty and speaking to us. You see God in the preservation of his creation also. He made it, he preserves it. God keeps all things. The world does not spin out a circuit. The earth doesn't. And this is evidence of God's preservation. God lets things reproduce so that the species are preserved. There's no confusion among the species except for humankind now, where we don't know what gender we are anymore. But that's not how God made the world. That's not how the world works. There's no confusion of the species. The cow doesn't say, I think I will move in with a donkey. It doesn't work that way. That's showing how God keeps things going. And it shows when we go contrary, how we are attacking God's way of preserving the world. I mean, look at the horrible sin of homosexuality. What's the first thing you know? It's a destruction of the order that God has placed. It's a destruction of the human race, because they can't reproduce. It's contrary to the order that God has put in place. Look how God preserves the world. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, together. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So the birds continue to reproduce, the flowers continue to reproduce. And it's not simply that flowers are there. Flowers are essential to our survival. They're not only beautiful, but God made them that way so they can preserve us. All the delicious fruits we were able to enjoy and vegetables. We get a good tall glass of lychee juice. If you don't know what that is, don't worry about it. We'll drink it all. It's delicious. And God uses that to preserve us. We are strengthened by what he has provided for us. But God not only preserves creation, God governs it. He controls everything about creation. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Together. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So, where do earthquakes go? You ever hear that phrase? Oh, we're so unlucky that we are struck with earthquakes. No, you're not. No, that's the work of God. He tells earthquakes where they can go. He tells the seas how far they can go and stop. You don't have to follow and panic by what Al Gore says, how so much of the world is going to be drowned. The Lord controls. Now, it doesn't take away your responsibility to take care of the earth. But we don't need to be in that form of panic. God governs the world. So when volcanoes erupt, and when sunspots erupt, God controls that. Why is it that there are not many sunspots? There have not been in recent times. That's God controlling it. God brings famines to show his justice, and then he gives food to show his mercy. And it's a beautiful thing to see how God controls things. Often I'm amazed with the way God provides rain. It's not just simply that the moisture comes off of the lake. In the middle of a continent where there are no lakes, God provides a way for air to go up and cool and condense and then fall back as rain. That's just two. There are more ways that God provides rain. That's His wonderful governance of creation. Then more. These things that we have in creation where God speaks to us, they just don't speak. They speak loudly and they speak clearly. You know the frustration when you're talking to someone and they're mumbling? Or you're talking to someone or you hear someone talking so loud you're more concentrating on the volume than what they're saying? Now God wants you to hear this. There's no question now about what God says. He speaks clearly and loud enough that you can hear. And these things don't have a physical voice, yet they speak. You know, you can say a lot of things by actions. You know, if a mother looks at the child and that child sees that mother's look, the child knows what's going to be coming after that mother's look. The mother didn't say anything, but just that look, and you know you're in trouble, or the father sometimes. We say a picture says 1,000 words, and sometimes it just, or just it might be a little sound that you might hear from a parent. You know what that means, and that's what God is saying here. When you hear the rolling of the thunder, it's not God speaking direct audibly, but it's a reminder of God's power. Remarkable power that He has. And this language is so clear that even the Japanese can understand it. And the Spanish people can understand it. You don't have to speak English to understand that He's speaking in nature. So what do you learn from nature then? Nature speaks of God's power. You see Him in controlling of the tides and the way the world works. We see God's wisdom, the orderliness of things. They also speak of God's love, that He provides things for us. That even when people attack and some people have misused the earth, the way the Lord works to rejuvenate things. One of the filthiest rivers in the world was the Colorado River. And then they made an effort to change, and within 7 years, the thing was loaded with fish again. The ability to rejuvenate, just quite remarkable. You have broken bones, how quickly they set back. You see, that hardening is separated and broken, and they're able to put it back, or not even with human effort. It will set back in place, and you could be strong again. That's God's wisdom and God's love and God's power. Also God's generosity. We have so much. You think about that. You have this tiny little seed you put in the ground, the next thing you have, delicious broccoli. How does God do that? That's very generous of Him. And what's the point of all of this? What do we know more from nature? It means the person who doesn't believe in God or says he doesn't believe in God, he's nothing but a liar. Everyone believes in God. He just denies it because he doesn't want to obey God or just closes his eyes to what is there. But everyone believes in God. He is visible in His creation and the way He preserves it, the way He is able to govern it as well. And these things then leave man without an excuse. If man does not believe in God, if man does not search out God to learn more about God, it's his own fault. Because God shows Himself in creation. And that's why the Japanese. When you think about that, Japan has one of the lowest Christian population in the world. But it's not God's fault. And if you look at the Yale, for those who visited Japan, they talk about the incredible beauty of that land. They don't look to God. It's their own fault, not God's fault. So God could properly and justly send someone to hell who does not glorify him based on what they see in creation. Look at the Romans 1, verse 20. Read that again together. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Not one excuse. Second, then, we look at the revelation of God, special revelation. You know about God through special revelation. This is when God's message is communicated directly to man. And this message completes what natural revelation could not complete. You can learn of God's glory and power and wisdom from natural revelation. But special revelation is the only glasses through which you can properly see how sinful you are, how much you needed a Savior, and how Christ saved you from your sins. So what are ways then that God gave us special revelation? Before the Bible was completed, God gave special revelation through dreams and visions and angels and prophets and providential circumstances and theophanies or God appearances, like when God appeared to people like Gideon or Abraham. That's the Lord Jesus appearing in the Old Testament as well. But now, with the perfect revelation of God completed, he speaks through his completed, perfected word. The word of God is much better now and fuller than it has ever been. No one can add to God's word. It is complete. You know, you example of having a barrel full of water and then saying, I want to add more water to it. Can you do that? No. The barrel is full. You can't add to that which is full. It would be foolish to do so. It would be illogical to do so. Look at God's word in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 together. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The man of God may be complete. So the word of God is complete, and it's enough for you to be able to do everything you're supposed to do. Everything needful for your salvation and sanctification and your growth in grace is included in God's completed word. But of course, there's a limit to that. God doesn't tell us everything. He tells us everything about our salvation and our sanctification. But he doesn't tell us everything. Look at Deuteronomy 29:29 together. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. You see, he didn't just say, well, there's some things you don't know. He said, remember the things you do know. Those things are for your guidance. Those things will tell you what to believe and how you should live. So God does not reveal some things he doesn't want you to know. And God reveals things so that you can properly glorify him. So then we come to the third point then. We know about natural revelation. God reveals himself and he governs things. And you are without excuse if you don't believe in him. But more than that, God is to reveal himself in his word. We now have the complete word of God, the whole Bible. Everything God wants you to know is in the word of God. But doctrines don't mean anything if it's just in your head. Even if it's in your heart, it's got to come to your hands. In other words, you have to do something with the doctrine. There are responsibilities. So what's your responsibility then to God? You must trust, love, and worship and obey this one true God whom you know from general and special revelation. Trust, love, worship, and obey. It starts in the heart, but it comes to the outside. Consider what happens when you reject what God says about himself. Romans 1, let's pick up from verse 21 through 23 now together. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. You see man's trouble. They knew God. They didn't worship God. They made up their own gods. You see the arrogance? You see why God sent Judah into captivity for 70 years, made them suffer like they did? They decide to worship idols. And of course, idols are destructive because they're imitations of the devil. And that's why the devil told them as they were worshiping those idols, take your newborn children and throw them in the fire. Burn them up as offerings to these gods. See the danger when you reject God's word. When you reject what God says about himself, you become trapped by your own futile interpretation of things. You cannot understand anything properly without the knowledge and view of God. We use the phrase Weltanschauung. This is the German word that says world and life view. You have to view things through the word of God. And if you don't, you'll be floating about which view is right and which view is wrong. And that's what you have in society. Without God's word as the standard, one time something is wrong and another day it's right, and we go back and forth. Look at some examples. When you have your own futile interpretation, you will worship yourself. You'll make yourself into God and then continually make bad judgments because you become the arbiter. You become the law. Look at the billions of dollars men have spent trying to find life, the source of life. You know, there are people who are watching night and day for aliens. Got beautiful telescopes that could show the wonder of the universe. They're looking for aliens. They're trying to find out how evolution took place. Imagine the amount of money. You think of people who are needy around the world, those who are starving, and we're spending money trying to find what is impossible to find because we've made ourselves into gods and we've rejected God's word. Poverty could be solved very quickly if we didn't waste money in futile things. What was the example of the vestigial organs that are supposed to be useless, the appendix? So many people went in to have surgery. Tonsils ripped out. And now they're finding out because they were supposed to be the end product of evolution and just extra that we could get rid of. And you find out now, no, they're not. We should keep them as long as we can. You can survive without them, but they're better to have those things. Just like you might lose an arm, you can live without the arm, but it's nice to have both. Look at the sociological errors that man has made because he refused to recognize that God made man. Because of rejecting that, look at the babies we are killing by abortions. We've killed far more people by abortions in North America than died in the entire Second World War. We now have killed over 60 million babies. We are going after the elderly and sick, and it's happening more and more in Canada now. If life did not come from God, then man could do whatever he wants with life, and that's the problem. You reject creation, then you could do whatever you want with life. Look how many genders we have now. Well, you reject God's word. He said he made male and female. He said, oh, it's not good for man to be alone. He'll make someone who's complementary, someone who fits, someone who's really opposite to him. And now we think, no, that doesn't have to be. And it's becoming more and more accepted in our society. One of the biggest bridal things, stores that sold wedding dresses now are promoting on television to women getting married. That's acceptable because God's word has been rejected. Look how we're rearing children. We refuse to discipline them, to raise them in the fear of the Lord. I mentioned already the lady who said that baptizing babies is violating their rights. Well, where did those rights come from? God gave us those rights. And it's not for any nation or any government to try to take those rights away from us. But we decided that children belong to the society, to the nation. So they have rights over those children that God did not give to them. Sort of wonderful to see in many ways how it tied in with the first command that we looked at today. Shall have no other gods before me. And man saying, I will be that God. And I will determine that God's law is not appropriate anymore. That's why society doesn't spank children anymore. They've rejected what God's law says. God says if you beat a child, he won't die, but you'll save his soul from hell. But society says, oh no, you'll make him into a murderer if you spank him. Well, who's right? What has our society done? What is the state of children since we stopped following God's law in many areas of society? Look how we celebrate perversion on our money. I mentioned already today. And I think of how money itself is a fraud. When the government needs more money, what does it do? It just prints more. Just steals from everybody so the value of their money goes down. That's one of the biggest deceptions. And it's a legal theft. There's a government control. It says, this is okay. This is our job. We will print money. The money has less and less value. So you can put your money in the bank, and after a while, you don't have any money because the government prints so much, it's not worth anything anymore. And then, of course, many hoard. People who are wealthy, sometimes they hoard their money. They don't want to share. And then some people who have money, they just waste it. They don't care. They think, easy come, easy go. Well, God's word says everything you have belongs to him, so you have to spend it the way God says. So, we've seen the problem. We've seen what happens when you reject God's word. You reject God and what he has said. How do we fix the problem? You must ask God for his Holy Spirit to properly understand what he's revealed about himself in his word and in his creation. The Bible teaches that the natural thinking of man does not allow him to properly understand God. So man needs the Holy Spirit's help. Man lost the ability to properly understand God because he became corrupted in the fall. God says, don't eat of that fruit. Man says, I want to eat of that fruit. So God must remake man now. That's the work of Jesus Christ, of course. So we need the Holy Spirit to work. And remember, God has no obligations to make you believe that he is real. God doesn't lose anything if you reject him. You need God. And that's why you pray and you say, Lord, help me to understand what your word is. Help me to understand what that truth is. And then you must take time to refresh your knowledge of God from natural revelation. Take the time to look at the flowers. I think sometimes in our busy life, especially in North America, see people running everywhere. You think of what just we went through for the Christmas season, places to visit, things to do, shopping to do. Take the time to ask God to help me to appreciate the beauty, the wonder of God, the power of God, the glory of God in the things around us. Take the time to look at those flowers that may be in the house now, certainly not outside. Think how they grow and multiply and provide all the things you need. Think of the nature of animals. Think of the ant. That's what the wise man said. Go to the ant, you lazy man. Look at how he lays up food in the summertime, so in wintertime he is well fed. Look how the seasons change predictably. Consider the millions of colors. Look at the gradations. Look at something like an orchid, and look at the way the colors come out from the center and the beauty of it, or the thinness of a mosquito wing. And it can fly, and you can try, and you're trying to catch it, and you can't catch it with all your master's degree. And he's just zooming around with his not even paper-thin, less than paper-thin wings. By the way, this is why you study science. When your kids are in school and you're learning science, it's showing the wonder of God. It's not just things to know in your head. It makes you praise God better. Look at the beauty of what God has made. But more than just looking at nature and learning about God, constantly refresh your knowledge of God from special revelation, from His Word. And then ask the Holy Spirit to open your mind so you can fully understand the wonderful things that God has revealed. By doing this, you will learn to love God more. You will worship Him better. You will learn to love your neighbor better. You will realize that your neighbor did not come from that evolutionary trinity, time, chance, and matter, but was chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and sealed by the Spirit. And you will treat him differently. Where is racism? Why do we have so much racism in the world? Are people who reject creation? You reject creation, that we were made in the image of God, all men alike. You're not going to be a racist. You're not going to be a racist. But more than just you learning about nature and learning about the Word of God and about your sin and how you're set free, but you must also teach others about God. Teach them what you learn from nature and from the Bible. That's what kids will talk about. Did you learn? Do you know what I learned in my science today? This is what I learned. And as a parent, you say, yeah, that's how God made us. How wonderful. How wonderful. And then talk about God. We just covered 10 weeks about God. Talk about God. Is He actually evangelistic? Because you will talk about the greatness of God, but you'll talk about the holiness of God and say, wow, look how God is, and then you think, how sinful I am. Talk about the justice of God, and you'll say, what did God have to do to me? And there it is. God will send you to hell unless someone takes your punishment. That's the work of Jesus. Let's conclude. There's much you can learn about God in nature. You can learn that He's a great God who made things in a most orderly and beautiful way. And you can enjoy the things that God has made. You can learn that He is the preserver and the governor of all things. He is a God who's in control of all things. And you can see how gracious God is to all men. We call that common grace, that everyone enjoys these blessings. But you will admit that natural revelation does not explain how sinful man is and how he can be saved from his sinfulness. And this is why God graciously revealed himself to you through special revelation, the Word of God. In God's special revelation, you learn who you really are. Not this wonderful person that the world tells you are, but you learn that you are a dirty, rotten scoundrel under the condemnation of God. But you also learn about the details of God, how God is holy and He couldn't mess with a dirty, rotten scoundrel. But you also learn what God did to save you from your sins, how Jesus took on human flesh and was born of a virgin, and how He lived and died for you, that your sins were counted as His sins when He died on the cross. So the point is this: no Bible, no salvation. But if you know the Bible, you will know salvation. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you are saved. You learned about salvation through Christ in the Bible, but you are daily learning of natural and special revelation so you can learn how to worship Him better and praise Him for His greatness and His goodness. But you know this takes effort. This takes time. You have to work at it. Don't read your Bible on Sunday alone. Read it every day. Think about it. Meditate on it. And in the busyness of your life, take time to look at the beauty of the world. Instead of playing video games all the time, or instead of singing songs that have no meaning, wouldn't it be better to take time to watch the stars, or a beautiful sunset, or a lovely snowfall? Watch the flakes as they come down, and the beauty of that. And then praise God for the things you see in this world. Take the time. Don't become a slave to busyness or become a slave to wasting time. And finally, if you're not a Christian, you have a perverted view of the world. Your view, you view everything in light of what you think, not what God thinks. Your glasses are your desire. Whatever you desire, that's what you want to do. The result is you want to worship nature. Only when you realize that your view has been corrupted by sin that you will seek. You'll begin to appreciate God as he revealed himself in nature and in the Bible. You've got to see your sin first. And then you will ask God to save you. So dig into the Word of God. Yeah, look at nature. See there is a God. But look into the Word of God and see what has revealed himself about you and how you can be saved. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words. Thank you for the way you reveal yourself to us through creation in nature and through the Holy Word of God. May we take time to be blessed by both, so we can learn to serve you better. And also, Father, for those who don't know the Word of God, who don't know you, may we introduce them to you, that they will see who you are and what you've revealed. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.